invite you to remain standing this morning for our gospel reading. It comes from the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It's an admittedly rather long story of two men on the first Easter evening. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were in the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said. They did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So they went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. It's Easter evening, and these men, one is named Cleopas, and the other's name we never learn, these men have set out on a walk to a village called Emmaus. They clearly don't know what else to do. So they start to wander around and find themselves on a 7-mile stroll. And while they walk, they talk. They talk about what has happened, how this man who they thought was the Messiah has been killed, and now they don't know what to do. As they're talking, another man appears who they believe to be a stranger. And this man, he appears to be like super out of the loop and is somehow the only person in all of Jerusalem who has not heard about the death of Jesus. So Cleopas, he tells him what's been going on. How there is this prophet and this teacher named Jesus, and how he's been killed. And then just today, some women went to the tomb and found that his body was missing. And now they're saying that Jesus is alive. But what's interesting to me is not this report of the story. It's pretty much what you would expect. It's one sentence within the story. For before Cleopas reports the happening of that Easter morning, he says, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." we had hoped. To me, they might be the three truest words in all of our scripture. Now, before we go too far this morning, we're going to have a little grammar lesson. And we're going to talk about the tense of the verb in this phrase, we had hoped. Now, in the original Greek, this verb is in the imperfect tense. The imperfect tense in Greek is used when we want to talk about a continuous action. It's something that went on regularly, a habit, an ongoing thing. Now, in addition, there's also what we call a temporal augment. You don't need to really know that, but in the word, and what that means is it tells us that this action was in the past, but now it's no more. So for a long while in the past, Cleopas and this other man had hoped continuously, regularly, day after day, for a very long time, that Jesus was going to be the one to redeem Israel. But that hope, it's no more. It's gone. It's over. They had hoped every single day, but now they hope no more. Now, why in the world does any of that verb tense matter? Well, here is why. We live in this imperfect tense. And so as much as we hear from others and from devotionals and even from pastors like me, that we should all have hope in the present and we all hope for the future, in reality, we all have time when we fall into the imperfect on the hope spectrum. Sometimes this is hard to admit. It's difficult to confess that we have lost our hope because we like the future tense. We're more comfortable as people around the future tense when we hear people say, oh, it will be all okay. The sun will rise tomorrow. The resurrection will still come. Yet, we all know what it is like to proclaim that we had hoped. We had hoped for a long time in the past, but that didn't work out, and now our hope was gone. We do this about everyday common things all the time. We had hoped the weather would be better. We had hoped the food at that restaurant would be better. We had hoped the Cavs would know they have to score baskets in a playoff game. But so Cleopas does us a favor in our scripture today. And he puts words to what we probably have all felt at one point or another when he says, we had hoped that Jesus was going to be the one to redeem Israel, but then he was killed, and now that hope is gone. We had hoped. We say it about more serious things in our lives, too. We had hoped that our loved one was going to be the one that was healed. We had hoped that we would be the one to get that job. We had hoped that our kids wouldn't have that problem. We had hoped that person that we cared so much about would come to faith. We had hoped that the addiction would be healed. We had hoped that it was just forgetfulness and not Alzheimer's. We had hoped that they were a better person than this. We had hoped that our child wouldn't give in to the peer pressure. We had hoped for different test results. We had hoped for this marriage, or this child, or this grandchild. We had hoped that this relationship wouldn't crumble. We had hoped. We had hoped. We had hoped that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. Despite, though, that we all proclaim it, even though we have all uttered these words under our breath, we had hoped. Sometimes we still don't know what to do with them. We don't know what to say to the imperfect tense. We don't know how to act around it or in it. So what do we do? Do we give in to the temptation to sweep we had hoped under the rug and just quickly move to the promise of resurrection? Do we try to turn our broken hearts into burning hearts like the men get later? Do we just jump to the end of this scripture when the men recognize Jesus and go out and share the good news of resurrection? I just don't think we can do that. I think we need to stay a little longer in the imperfect, stay a little longer in the we had hoped. And I think we need to see what Jesus did in this scripture, how Jesus interacts with these hopeless men. Because while we might not be too good with the imperfect, with hanging out in the we had hoped, you know who's really good at it? Jesus. The first thing Jesus does in this story is simple. He shows up. He goes and he meets the men on their walk, and he simply walks alongside them. He listens to them as they profess their lack of hope. He lets them tell the whole story. He doesn't interrupt and just try to solve it immediately by being all like, well, it's just me, Jesus. Get over it. Instead, he's just with them. He shows up and walks and listens. He is present with them in the midst of their hopelessness, their despair, and their confusion. He allows them to say, we had hoped. And I believe that Jesus will do the same for us today. That when we find ourselves in those we had hoped moments, that Jesus still shows up. And in showing up, Jesus allows us to name our grief and our pain. By showing up, Jesus shows us that we can confess all of those we had hoped to him. It's good and it's right to name those things, to confess them in prayer. Even if our prayers are just, God, I had hoped for this thing, and now I can't hope anymore. Jesus shows up in those we had hoped moments. And as followers of Christ, we are called to do the same for others. When others are in imperfect hope, we show up for them. Not to fix them, not to tell them to get over it, but to truly walk alongside them and hear them. We let others confess what it is that they had lost hope in. We allow others to name that grief and pain. We walk with them on the journey, whether it's 7 miles to Emmaus or 700 miles. Jesus shows up, and we're called to show up too. And then Jesus recounts to them the story of faith. He starts to explain to Cleopas and the other men all the scripture. It says it goes back through Moses and all the scripture to explain what the Messiah had come to do. It's through explaining these scriptures that the men see how hope has come and gone. This is true for us too. The scripture, the story of our faith, it then becomes a key life giver during of time and peace during times when we had hoped. Because the scripture, it shows us stories of people, like these men on the walk to Emmaus, who have found themselves in similar situations as us. It shows us stories of people with broken hearts and with burning hearts. The scriptures, they tell us about people who are all across the hope spectrum. People who have future hope, people who have present hope, and people who have imperfect hope. People who once had hope and now have it no more. And it's through the scripture, these stories, and the promise of God that we get more examples of how God shows up, no matter where we are on the hope spectrum. And so just as Jesus shares the story of faith with these two men, we share the story of faith with others who are experiencing imperfect hope, so that they know that they aren't alone either, that these moments of we had hope, they've happened time and time again, and that people who experience them are normal, everyday people, just like they are. And that in those times, Jesus showed up, and so Jesus will show up for them as well. Jesus shows up, Jesus shares the scriptures, and then finally, Jesus creates community with these men. He stays with them and gathers them around a meal. And it's during the meal, during that time together, that they finally recognize Jesus for who he is. This happens because they've gathered together as a community. We can never move from imperfect hope on our own. We have to have Jesus show up. We need the story of faith, and we need each other. That's what moves us from our dashed hopes to our we had hopes, to people with hearts burning within us, with hope for resurrection. And so we show up as a community for others. When other people are in their we had hoped moments, we provide community for them. Maybe that looks like bringing a meal. Maybe that looks like sitting in a waiting room. Maybe that looks like sending a note of encouragement. It's anything that shows somebody in the we had hoped imperfect that they belong, even if they don't have it all figured out. I remember one time several years ago, a woman in our church had just lost her husband. And the first time that she came back to church after that loss, she had a friend with her. She introduced me and she said that this was her friend who had offered to be the person to come back to church with her for the first time. Because this friend knew how hard it was going to be for the woman to sit in church alone for the first time. And she didn't want her to have to go through that. It's that kind of community that brings out the burning hearts of the men in this story and for us today. We had hoped might be the three truest words in all of Scripture. We all know what it's like to have our hopes dashed. We all know what it's like to have hoped for a long time for something and then have it not happen. Just like the two on the road to Emmaus, we find ourselves in the imperfect, in the we had hoped. And yet when that happens, Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up to hear us confess our dashed hopes, not to fix them or to tell us to cheer up, but to truly walk with us. Then Jesus points us to the scripture, the story of faith, the story of all others that had hoped that it have been overcome by the power of God. And then finally, Jesus provides community so that we might be supported and encouraged. Jesus does the same for us today, and we're called to share that with others. So when we encounter others who are in imperfect hope, who have hoped for a long time, and then hope no more, we too show up. We share the story of faith, and we offer community. And it's through those Spirit-led actions that we begin to move from dashed hopes to hearts burning within us. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, just like these men on the road to Emmaus, we know what it's like to live with imperfect hope. We too, God, have had our hopes dashed. We've hoped for things for a long time and then found ourselves with hope no more. And yet, Lord, it's in those moments that Christ shows up. So open our eyes to Christ among us. Open our hearts to the scriptures, to stories of others and their dashed hopes. And open us to offers of community, that we might become people who have regained hope because of your goodness and your promise of resurrection. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.